Friday, September 21st, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports with a dose of common sense, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you. We have made it through another week. We have made it to another Friday. That is always a very, very good thing. You know, today, of course, is the final day of summer, at least here in our northern hemisphere. Fall actually begins tomorrow. And you know, while there are some sad aspects to the end of summer, there are, hey, so long summer barbecues, so long warmer weather, see you next year sundresses, I do love some fall. Now, fall here in Colorado, honestly, it's about the greatest time of year. The days are warm, you're getting up into the 70s, the nights are cooling off down into the 40s and 50s. I mean, it is just absolutely perfect weather. Yes, there are some downsides to fall. I mean, now you have all the white girls putting pumpkin spice in literally every food or drink imaginable. I don't know what it is about pumpkin spice. I don't know what it is about white girls loving that stuff, but they do love them some pumpkin spice. Oh, I got pumpkin spice lemonade. Did you see the new pumpkin spice toaster pastries? They've got pumpkin spice cereal. I wish I were joking. I'm totally not. They have all that stuff and it's horrible. And yes, in the fall, you do have the leaves falling from the trees. It's not so much that that part of it bothers me, but the fact that the falling leaves hide the dog turds underneath it, that bothers me. Like, that's a little bit of a problem. But, I mean, when you do have that big pile of leaves, it does provide a nice cushy landing for when you pass out in your own backyard. And sometimes, some weekends, you just have to do that. The good thing is, it's a nice soft landing. You can lay there in the warm sun for a few hours before you wake up and stagger back into the house. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, let us know why you love the fall season, or I don't know, maybe you don't. Let us know that too. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter. You can find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Doesn't have to be about fall. Doesn't have to be about summer. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you just have a comment for the show. Maybe there is something you were hoping we would cover and I didn't get around to it. Give me a heads up. I would be glad to cover something for you. Hey, today on the show, we do have a number of things to get to, including some breaking news. But we do also have our weekend sports preview that we like to have on Friday, kind of give you an idea of what is coming this weekend. And as we do nearly every single Friday, we will also have our Daily Dose Top 5, a very popular segment of the show. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. It can surprise you, but the Daily Dose Top 5 is usually informative. Sometimes it's entertaining. Sometimes it's a little bit of both. You always have to make sure that you tune in Fridays for the Top 5. Sometimes it surprises even me. I just have to hold on for dear life and see where it takes me. Couple things coming out in the world of breaking news. Hey, the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets put on a way better show than advertised last night as rookie Sam Darnold got the Jets off to a 14-0 start. But then, when Tyrod Taylor left the game with a concussion, fellow rookie Baker Mayfield came on and hey, he put on a show for the hometown Cleveland fans. The Browns beat the Jets 21-17 to get their first win since Christmas Eve of 2016. Mayfield went 17 of 23 for 201 yards, and he also caught a two-point conversion from wide receiver Jarvis Landry. Hey, I don't know what kind of career that Mayfield is going to have, but I was actually impressed with both rookie quarterbacks last night. Darnold looked good in spots. He looked tough. He has better legs than I thought he did, and Mayfield was firing darts downfield, just like he did when he was at Oklahoma. I know this. I know watching that game last night, the excitement when Baker Mayfield entered that game. Hey, it hasn't been felt around the Cleveland Browns franchise since I don't even know when. I would say Johnny Manziel, but I don't know if there was that much excitement around Manziel when he came to Cleveland. It was palpable last night. People were fired up to see Baker Mayfield, and he lived up to the hype. He went in, didn't try to do too much, just went in and you could see his talent throwing the ball down the field. And I've got to say, one more time for old time's sake, don't I?
You're my boy, Blue! You're my boy.
Hey, congratulations to Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. That was a giant burden on that franchise they were carrying around. They finally dropped that burden off, at least for another week last night. In college football, Ohio State Buckeyes defensive end Nick Bosa had surgery yesterday to fix a core muscle injury. And right now, they do not have a timetable for his return. That is according to Coach Urban Meyer. Bosa suffered the injury in the third quarter of Ohio State's 40-28 victory over TCU on Saturday. He will not be on the field this week as the number 4 Buckeyes face Tulane. Now, already this season, Nick Bosa is proving to be one of the top defensive players in the country. He has 4 sacks, which is tied for 3rd in the country. He has a team-high 14 tackles. He also has a forced fumble that resulted in a defensive touchdown. Now, when they say core muscle, I'm assuming that is some sort of a muscle tear, maybe in his abdomen. You know, when I was in high school, I actually tore a muscle in my abdomen. Now, I will go ahead and say this is a minimum 2-week injury, because usually you have to graft that muscle back together and you've got to stitch it. You can go out and you can play in stitches. It could come undone, though. Now, this obviously won't be an issue when Ohio State faces Tulane this week. Who cares if Bosa's out? They could sit their entire starting team and still beat Tulane. That isn't the problem. What could be a problem is next week. Because if Nick Bosa isn't back next week, yeah, now the Buckeyes could have some serious trouble. Next week, Ohio State goes to Happy Valley to face Penn State. If they don't have their top defensive player, yeah, that could get a little bit more interesting. And like I said, I would say this is a minimum 2-week injury. If he comes back before that, he may be able to play. I don't know if he'll be able to finish or if he will have the explosion and power that he had at one time. That injury could take a little bit longer to heal up. Also, some news coming out, I guess NBA news, entertainment news. I don't know where we would categorize this, but blown away by Ryan Coogler's work on Black Panther. It seems that NBA superstar LeBron James is teaming up with the director-producer on the long-anticipated next Space Jam movie. Yeah. Coogler will produce the Space Jam project with Terrence Nance, whose work includes random acts of flyness and an oversimplification of her beauty. Nance will actually be directing. Now, while the film shares the same name with the popular franchise that originally starred Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny back in 1996, a source familiar with the production said the new movie is not going to be a sequel to the highest grossing basketball film of all time. And yeah, I don't think you can do a sequel or a remake of Space Jam, of the original one. It would just feel kind of forced. It would just feel kind of contrived. They need to come up with something different for LeBron James in this. They need to go outside the box and come up with a different storyline. You can't try to do that again. I have a few suggestions for Ryan Coogler, for Terrence Nance, and for LeBron James on this new Space Jam. Now, I'm just assuming, I'm just guessing, I don't know this, but I'm just assuming that Kevin Hart has a role in this, right? I mean, I'm just guessing. I don't know. I've not heard anything about that, but I think we can safely assume, hey, Kevin Hart, you're going to have sort of the Bill Murray role, right? I mean, am I stepping too far off to guess that? But here's some thoughts I had about maybe what they could do in the new Space Jam. Perhaps in the new Space Jam, LeBron James' team loses to the Monstars, and then LeBron goes and finds another all-star team somewhere else, I don't know, maybe out there in the galaxy, to join and then try to come back and beat the Monstars. I don't know, maybe a team in a warmer galaxy.
Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5.
I don't know, just some thoughts. And, you know, maybe the league that is running this game between the two teams, maybe they help LeBron and they suspend one of the Monstars, I don't know, for like a game or two during a 7-game series just for the big climactic finish. Oh! I mean, again, I'm just spitballing here. I'm just throwing out ideas, but it's not the worst idea, is it? Sometimes art imitates life, and I think that's what we're going to see in the new Space Jam movie. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our weekend sports preview. Now, there are not quite as many marquee matchups this weekend, but there are still a number of things for us to watch. So let's shift over to our weekend sports preview. You know, we try to do this each and every week. try to give you an idea of some of the upcoming events over the next 2 days, because you don't want to go to a party or go see a friend or go visit the parents or whatever you had on the agenda and completely miss a game because you just didn't realize that's when it was. Oh, I forgot the game was on. Oh, I should have planned better for that. So we try to just give you a heads up. Hey, here are a couple of the top matchups out there. You might want to be near a TV so you can check it out. If you want to go out to the bar, you want to go out with your friends, cool. Just make sure it's somewhere that has a TV. So we try to just give you an idea of what you're going to watch over the next few days. No one likes to be the person that had no idea a big game was on. We try to help you with that. Plus, you know, we do our best to pick the games because we know sports gambling is on its way. Now, last week, our picks didn't go so great. We went 4-5 with a push on that Green Bay-Minnesota tie game, which I didn't appreciate because that could have helped us break even. Not very happy with Minnesota on that situation. So, you know, we have to pick it up this week. We've got to do a better job of picking games right now here on the show. Here we go again. And remember, all times given in our weekend preview are Mountain Time Zone. So adjust your schedule accordingly. Starting off tonight at 5 p.m., we've actually got what could be an interesting college football game. Now, we all saw Lane Kiffin's Florida Atlantic squad get trounced by Oklahoma to start the season. But they did bounce back a little bit with wins over Air Force and Bethune-Cookman. No, Bethune-Cookman isn't even an FBS school, but Air Force is. Now, tonight, they head to Orlando to face last year's pretend national champions, the Central Florida Knights. Now, Central Florida hasn't played anyone yet. So this is going to be our first test of any kind for this year's Knights. Could maybe Lane Kiffin's group keep this a little bit close? I would think that it might be at least competitive for two or three quarters, so you might want to check out some college football on tonight. I will go with the Central Florida Knights to win that game. Moving over to Major League Baseball, you know, it seems like the best matchups these days in Major League Baseball, they're taking place during the week. And then on the weekend, I don't know why, but it seems like we just have a bunch of good teams versus a bunch of bad teams. We're seeing most of the playoff teams playing each other during the week, not on the weekend. So this weekend, there's not a ton of Major League Baseball to watch, but we do have one series that even though there's not much on the line, it should be a decent series because we have the Boston Red Sox facing the Cleveland Indians starting tonight at 5 p.m. They will play a three-game series. And I think it's fair to say this is probably a preview of the postseason. Red Sox versus Indians, that's not a bad way to spend your weekend. Take a look at that series on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I would think it would be competitive. No, there's nothing necessarily at stake, but you might get an idea of how the postseason is going to go because I would think these two could end up facing each other. I'm going to actually take the Indians to win this series. Moving on to Saturday, we do have a few college football games that should be worth your time, and they start at 10 a.m. You know, the Georgia Bulldogs are absolutely rolling behind that high-powered offense with quarterback Jake Fromm. But Georgia's defense has not really been tested yet this year. They should get a pretty significant test on Saturday because Georgia goes to Columbia, Missouri to face Drew Locke and the Missouri Tigers. Now, Drew Locke is putting up huge numbers once again. The Missouri Tigers are averaging 40 points a game, but they haven't really played anyone yet. Georgia versus Missouri, 10 a.m. on Saturday. Not too bad. I'll go ahead and pick the Georgia Bulldogs right there. At 1:30, we have what is probably the best college football matchup of the week, which is going to be in Tuscaloosa this week, as Jimbo Fisher takes his Texas A&M Aggies to face the big, bad Crimson Tide. You know, no longer is it just the defense with Alabama, because now, with new quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, Alabama actually might be more about offense these days. And when they face Texas A&M, keep one thing in mind. A&M faced Clemson, granted it was at home, but they didn't blink, and they took them right to the end. Jimbo Fisher is doing some good things with that Texas A&M squad. Can they battle with the Alabama Crimson Tide? They might be able to keep it closer than anyone thinks. I'm going to take Alabama here, but it won't surprise me to see Texas A&M take this into the fourth quarter. Also at 1:30 p.m., you know, Bill Snyder's Kansas State Wildcats got stomped by Mississippi State earlier this season. But Mississippi State is legit. That's a very, very good football team. And now, Kansas State is going to head to Morgantown to face West Virginia, who, don't forget, is basically coming off of a bye week because they had last week off where they were supposed to play North Carolina State. That game got canceled for the hurricane. Maybe we see West Virginia just a little bit rusty. Maybe we see Bill Snyder do what Bill Snyder does and kind of coach his boys up and give West Virginia a decent game. I'm going to take West Virginia at home, but Kansas State could be pesky this weekend. If you are going to stay up late on Saturday night, do what the East Coast sports writers never do. And, you know, tune in for a Pac-12 game, because at 8:30 on Saturday night, one of these Pac-12 teams is going to be done in the national picture, because someone is going home with their second loss on Saturday night. The Washington Huskies lost that opener to Auburn, but they did bounce back with a win last week against Utah. They are going to be hosting Herm Edwards' Arizona State Sun Devils.
Hello, you play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Remember, they had beaten Michigan State earlier this year, but then they lost last week to San Diego State. How good is Arizona State really? We should find out on Saturday as they go up to Washington to face the number 10 Huskies. I'm going to take Washington at home there, but hopefully that should be a highly competitive game. Moving forward to Sunday, you know, the PGA Tour Championship actually started yesterday, and all the big names are going to be down in Atlanta. So if you just want to kind of check in, Championship Sunday should be very, very interesting as we see who wins the PGA Tour Championship. Any chance Tiger Woods can at least kind of play his way into some sort of contention on Sunday? Because we know that just means huge ratings. Maybe you're not glued to it, but you probably are going to want to flip back and forth and just check in on the PGA Tour Championship on Sunday. Now, we do have a few NFL games this week that should be worth your time. Starting off at 11 a.m., I don't like the way the New Orleans Saints have started this season. I really don't. And I know they were high on a lot of people's list, maybe a Super Bowl contender, but think about how they've started. They got blown out by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week one. And then last week, they probably should have lost to the Cleveland Browns at home. But you would think they're going to start showing signs of improvement, aren't they? I mean, they're going to get that running game going. The defense is going to improve. You would think New Orleans is going to come along. Meanwhile, they will be going to Atlanta to face the Atlanta Falcons, who are proving themselves to be one of the top teams in this league. This should be a very competitive NFC South divisional matchup. I'm going to go with Atlanta at home, but hopefully the Saints can go in there and give them a ball game. That should be pretty entertaining on Sunday morning. Also on Sunday morning, we have the San Francisco 49ers going to Arrowhead to face the Kansas City Chiefs. I know this still isn't going to be much of a test for the Chiefs offense, because the San Francisco 49ers defense, yeah, it's not very good. They're giving up a lot of yards and way too many points. But here is the one way this game could end up being entertaining. Maybe 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo could match Patrick Mahomes, and Niners versus Chiefs on Sunday morning could turn into like a big shootout. Good offenses versus bad defenses. I'm going to take the Chiefs at home, but that might end up being a better game than you would think. Also at 11 a.m., we have the Cincinnati Bengals going to Carolina to face the Panthers. You know, the Panthers are coming off of that loss to Atlanta. They're sitting there at 1-1. Meanwhile, the Cincinnati Bengals are the leader in the AFC North. They are 2-0. The Bengals beat divisional rival Baltimore last week. Andy Dalton got off to a very quick start. But doesn't it just kind of feel like Cincinnati is probably due for a bad game? Like, right now they're overachieving. Cincinnati, that's not what you do. That's not how you operate. You don't overachieve. I expect them to crash back to earth this week. I will go with the Carolina Panthers at home. Finally, we finish out our weekend of sports at 2 p.m. because we have the battle for Los Angeles. Yes, the Los Angeles Chargers will stay in their home stadium to face the Los Angeles Rams. Now, the Rams look like one of the big dogs in a very stacked NFC. And then you have the Chargers, who look like one of the better teams in the AFC. Yes, the AFC is not as good as the NFC, but the Chargers look like one of the better teams, don't they? We will see what Phillip Rivers can do against that Rams defense. And we will see if Jared Goff and Todd Gurley can get rolling against that Charger defense. But you know, I think the best part about this Chargers versus Rams game is that Los Angeles fans could very easily be walking into the stadium cheering for one team and walking back out of the stadium cheering for whoever wins. Because we know California fans just might have a tendency to be like, oh, they're winning. Oh, they're my favorite. Oh, look, you beat them. Oh, you're my favorite now. I think that might be what I'm looking forward to the most. Seeing someone walk into the stadium in their Charger shirt, seeing them walk back out with their Rams hat and a Rams jersey pulled on over that shirt. Does it get any better than that? Gotta love California fans. I'm going to take the Rams at home or on the road or however we label this. I'm picking the Rams to win this game. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. Now, we saw this week the New England Patriots made a deal for a new wide receiver. Hey, there's no question whatsoever about Josh Gordon's talent, but he does have some vices that have kept him from meeting his full potential. And you know, this just might be his very last shot. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. October's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Cursed, haunted by dark spirits and evil creatures. Sorry, but it sounds like you've been cursed. Fight back against your regrettable fate with an exclusive collection of accursed gear. October's Loot Crate theme features items from Attack on Titan, Gremlins, Evil Dead 2, and American Horror Story. Looks like they are getting ready for Halloween over at Loot Crate. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate and choose from a huge selection of crates, a monthly subscription of crates, or just individual items. And they have so many things over there, they are sure to have exactly what you need. Of course, the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose each and every day. Now, as we do every single Friday, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like I said earlier, this week, the New England Patriots made a deal to trade for troubled Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon. Hey, there's no question the guy has talent. In 2013, Josh Gordon had 87 catches for over 1,600 yards and 9 touchdowns, yet when you look at his career, that's really his only productive season that he's ever had because of a number of various problems, mostly suspensions for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy. Now, Josh Gordon has admitted to drinking and using marijuana, trying to cope with anxiety that he deals with every single day. But I'm saying this right now, this might be it for Josh Gordon. If he doesn't make it with the New England Patriots, then where can he make it? And it wouldn't be the first time we saw a guy with a ton of talent just wash out because of their vices. Today, we have 5 other memorable talents that never reached their full potential because they had too many other distractions in their life. And as a result, they're looking around going, what happened to my career? Yeah, it's gone. So today, we count down the top 5 athletes whose vices ruined their career. Starting off at number 5. A talented tight end that had a national championship while at the University of Florida. And while he was with the New England Patriots, they were in the hunt pretty much for a Super Bowl every single year. Our number 5 entry was insanely talented. He caught 175 passes for nearly 2,000 yards in just 3 seasons in the NFL. Unfortunately, he had a vice that ended his career and his life prematurely. See, Aaron Hernandez, yeah, he really liked killing folks. During the 2013 offseason, Hernandez was arrested and charged with the murder of Odin Lloyd, a semi-professional player who was dating the sister of Hernandez's fiance. Following the arrest, he was immediately released by the Patriots. Of course, Hernandez was found guilty of first-degree murder in 2015. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. While on trial for Lloyd's murder, he was also indicted for a 2012 double homicide, but was acquitted after a 2017 trial. Days after being acquitted, Hernandez was found dead in his cell. It was ruled a suicide. Hey, Aaron Hernandez had a ton of talent, but he couldn't take his foot out of that very violent world and just focus on his athletics. And as a result, ended up in jail, ended up eventually losing his life. He comes in at number 5. Moving on to number 4. Hey, we've all heard this story before. Talented guy, starts taking drugs, throws his career down the toilet. Our number 4 entry had starred at the University of Michigan. He was named a third-team All-American by the AP in 85 and 86. In the 1985 season, he actually led the Michigan Wolverines to the Big Ten Championship, averaging 19 points and 10 rebounds a game. He was named the Big Ten Player of the Year, and in 1986, he was selected by the Dallas Mavericks in the first round with the 7th overall pick of the NBA draft. He made the NBA All-Rookie team in his first season. He won the NBA Sixth Man of the Year the next year. He averaged 13 points and 12 rebounds a game. However, just 6 games into the 1989-1990 season, Roy Tarpley was arrested for driving while intoxicated and resisting arrest. He was suspended by the NBA. In March of 91, he drew another suspension, another DWI. A few months later, he notched a 3rd violation and ended up being banned from the league for violating the NBA's drug use policies. Now, he returned to the Mavericks briefly in 94, but he ended up getting permanently banned in 95. You know, Roy Tarpley actually tried to sue the NBA, claiming that their refusal to reinstate him violated the Americans with Disabilities Act because his addiction to drugs and alcohol, he claimed, was a disability. The suit was settled out of court in March of 2009, and on January 9, 2015, Roy Tarpley died at the age of 50, reportedly to liver failure. Again, Roy Tarpley had a ton of talent, but he couldn't stay away from drugs or alcohol, and it cost him his athletic career. Our number 3 entry played college football for the University of Texas. He was a 2-time All-American. He won the Heisman Trophy. And then, Ricky Williams was drafted by the New Orleans Saints 5th overall after Mike Ditka just traded his entire draft to get the rights to Williams. He spent 3 seasons with the Saints before being traded to the Miami Dolphins in 2002. He played there for 2 seasons, but then he retired from football in 2004 because apparently he had tested positive for marijuana. He returned, but was suspended again in 2006 for marijuana. He actually went and played with the Toronto Argonauts in the Canadian Football League that year. Williams then rejoined the Dolphins in 2007. He played with them until 2010, and then he actually spent the 2011 season with the Baltimore Ravens. Ricky Williams was one of the most talented running backs I have ever seen. But dude loved smoking weed so much, he is remembered more for what he could have been than what he ever ended up being. Hey, you don't have to stop smoking weed, Ricky. Just stop while you're making your money, or be smart enough to beat that drug test, because trust me, the NFL and NBA, they're not testing you that hard for marijuana. You can get away with it if you're just a little bit smart about it. Ricky Williams comes in at number 3. Our number 2 entry made his Major League Baseball debut in 1984 for the New York Mets, and he quickly established he was going to be one of the league's most talented pitchers. He was only 19 years old. He earned the first of 4 All-Star selections. He won the National League Rookie of the Year. He led the league in strikeouts. In 1985, our number 2 entry won the Cy Young Award. He achieved the pitching triple crown. He had a 24-4 record. He had a league-leading 1.53 ERA. He had 268 strikeouts. He had 16 complete games. And the following season, he helped the New York Mets win the 1986 World Series. But Dwight Gooden's career was ultimately derailed by cocaine and alcohol addiction. After posting a losing record in every season from 92 to 94, Gooden was suspended for the 95 season after a positive drug test while serving a prior suspension. So he was already suspended. Now he's suspended even longer. Hey, the 1980s New York Mets, honestly, I think they would have snorted the chalk to first base. Unfortunately, Dwight Gooden was right in the middle of it, which is too bad because he was just a young kid. And he ruined what many experts consider to be one of the best arms in Major League history. But he couldn't stay away from cocaine, and he couldn't stay away from alcohol. Dwight Gooden comes in at number 2. So who is number 1 of our top 5 athletes whose vices ruin their career? Our top pick is the prime example of his vices overcoming his talent. You know, this guy's actually a Denver kid. He went to Manual High School. He was deemed to be the next Walt Frazier. Yeah, and he never lived up to those expectations. After a college career at Montana, he bounced around the NBA a little while before coming into his own with the New Jersey Nets. In the 1984-85 season, Michael Ray Richardson averaged 20 points and 6 rebounds a game. But then, NBA Commissioner David Stern banned the point guard for life in 1986 after he tested positive for cocaine. He actually appealed the decision, and he was allowed to return in 1988. But by then, Michael Ray Richardson's life had gone off the rails. He was no longer the player he had once been. You know, Michael Ray Richardson is still regarded as one of the best players ever to never pan out because he showed flashes of absolute brilliance while he was still playing. He ended up finishing his career overseas talking about what could have been had he just stayed away from drugs. Hey, I hope that Josh Gordon gets his life together. These young athletes that come out, they have a limited amount of time to go make their money. We see it so many times. These young talents, they waste their time. They waste their energy on things like this. And they're looking around later in life saying, what happened? I had everything in front of me and I lost all of it. I let it all slip away. Josh Gordon is an amazing talent. He has a golden opportunity right now with the New England Patriots. You better take advantage of it. It will be gone before you know it. Hey, it is Friday and we have made it through another week. I hope you are enjoying the podcast every single week. We will be back on Monday to discuss all of the happenings over the weekend. We will make sure that we keep you up on the latest and greatest in the world of sports. I have to say thank you all for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for subscribing to the show wherever it is that you listen. It is all very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.